Hey, Buffalo Rising listeners, this is Daniel Lenzian, the host of this episode of Project Best Life. Today, I talk to Shaunell Tillery, owner and founder of Afrochick Yoga, which is a mobile yoga service that specializes in providing beginner yoga, meditation, and mindfulness instruction. On this episode, we talk about the inspiration behind becoming an instructor, the advantages of being a mobile studio, the styles of yoga she teaches, the benefits of teaching young people yoga and meditation, and how practicing and sharing yoga and meditation with family members can help a person lead their best lives. We hope you enjoy the episode.
My name is Shaunell Tillery, and I can be referred to as the founder and owner.
And that's of Afrochick Yoga.
Yes.
Awesome. Fantastic. I am a Pilates instructor, and I know that everyone has a story that kind of has inspired them to become an instructor. What prompted you to become a yoga instructor?
Well, I would like to think that my journey with becoming a yoga instructor was a little multifaceted. I kind of came from two areas. I initially started the practice as a practitioner, and I started it because I was going through a litany of personal experiences that was honestly taking me out. And I needed something different. I needed something to kind of put me in a different mental space, a different emotional space. So after being previously diagnosed with a depression and anxiety, I decided to try to go a different route. I've always wanted to do yoga. My mom, when I was younger, I would always see her doing yoga, and I was always fascinated by it. It's never been something that has been far out of reach for me. Because I've always kind of been familiar with it because my mom used to do it. And so when it was reintroduced to me, I started to take into the practice, and I saw the immediate effects that it had on me physically, of course, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all the things. And I felt such a charge from it that I immediately started thinking, like, okay, everybody needs something like this. You know, everybody is going through their own individual separate things in life. And sometimes we need a break from it all. And that's what yoga and meditation in particular actually is able to do, you know, for a lot of people who choose to partake in it. So that's what my thinking was when I kind of started Afrochick. I wanted to create a safe space for people to be able to actually learn how to do the practice and find their own natural, organic way of connecting to the practice, because not everybody's going to connect to the practice the same way. So that was the whole initial force of me starting Afrochick Yoga. It was first a personal thing, and then it soon became a thing where I wanted to, you know, give it out to the community. I wanted to, you know, show my family, friends, and things of that nature. And it has now expanded to be and being what it is currently.
I have to tell you, I was like so cranky yesterday. It's because I hadn't done any exercise for 3 days. And I was like, why am I taking everything so personally? And then I realized, that, oh, because I haven't done any physical activity in 3 days.
Listen, you got to get your body moving.
Yep, absolutely. Afrochick Yoga is a mobile service. What are the benefits of being a mobile studio?
With Afrochick Yoga being a mobile service, some of the benefits of being a mobile studio for our clients is we are able to come to our clients' home, their residence, school, place of employment, and provide them with that one-on-one type of attention that sometimes you don't really get at a yoga studio. And, you know, also give them the opportunity to be, once again, in that safe space. I know a lot of times, you know, with a yoga studio, and I used to teach at a couple of yoga studios, one thing that I noticed as a instructor was some of the insecurities and the self-consciousness that kind of surrounded, you know, just coming into certain poses like downward facing dog. There were people who would be like, oh my God, I can't do it. And so sensing that discomfort, and I know that that comes from a sense of unfamiliarity, and that comes from a sense of insecurity. So with us being a mobile service and being able to come to that person's, like I said, home or residence, employment, school, whatever, they're already in one of their safe environments or a place where they are familiar with at the very least. And they don't have to make the strides to going into a studio, which can be time consuming. You may not have the schedule for it. You may not always have the money for it. You may not always have the resources for it. So we want to eliminate as many limitations that may come up surrounding just going to the yoga studio or going to a yoga class as possible. So that's another benefit. Aside from being able to just come to the client's home, it creates a sense of comfort when it comes down to, I don't have to be surrounded by a whole bunch of other, you know, self-proclaimed yoga experts who are able to, you know, go upside down and go on top of their head with ease, and I can't even touch my toes. So that was one of the biggest things when it comes down to the whole mobility factor and just, you know, wanting to be as accessible as possible. Sometimes yoga is just not in certain communities. And so, you know, without having to travel out to these different places, and gas prices are up through the roof, so nobody really wants to go anywhere. So without having to feel like, okay, in order for me to get my fix or in order for me to find a way to connect to the practice, I got to go all the way over to this side of town where there are a plethora of yoga studios for me to choose from, but I have nothing where I'm from. So once again, we're trying to eliminate all of the obstacles that may come around just somebody coming to a yoga class. And so that's why we have, you know, that mobility factor.
That really leads me to my next question, which is that sometimes people can be intimidated by yoga or meditation. They'll say things like, I'm not flexible, or I can't sit for a long time. What might you say to someone who's interested but hesitant to start practicing yoga and meditation?
Well, I would say to anybody who might be a little afraid or even hesitant when it comes down to coming into this practice, is that the first thing that we need to understand, contrary to popular belief, yoga is not a one size fits all type of practice. And so the way that you would approach it may not be the way that I would approach it or the way the next person would approach it. So going into it, knowing that you do have options. You do have options as far as the type of style of yoga, because there are so many styles between traditional styles of yoga like vinyasa and hatha and ashtanga, as well as contemporary styles like maybe dance flow yoga or even trap yoga. There's something for everybody. And you just have to find your niche. And don't feel bad if you go to a yoga class or what have you, and they're doing a particular style of yoga that you just don't vibe with. That's just not your vibe. And so it's all about finding your vibe and finding your own connection with it. And going into yoga is not just a physical journey, it's such an emotional journey, because what you do on the mat honestly kind of reflects what you do in your life. So if you kind of have issues with balance and you're stumbling a lot, you can for sure find places in your life where you may have that same issue. So when you're coming into yoga, you know you're coming into a whole practice, a whole harmonious circle of everything being like entailed. So it's not just, okay, I'm just stretching my body, which is great. That's a great way to start. But at the same time, I'm also stretching my mind. I'm stretching my capacity, my emotional capacity. So also knowing that yoga is an emotional, it's a spiritual, it's a mental journey that, you know, if you continue with it, because the biggest thing is consistency. You can't, and that's another point that I was going to get to, consistency. There's a lot of people who, you know, do yoga one time and then they're like, okay, well, I didn't see all the effects that I'm supposed to see. So it's not for me. You gotta actually get yourself involved in a practice of it. Trying to do it, if you can't do it every single day, try doing it once a week, then try to do it twice and three times a week, and to a point that you are having more of a daily practice, because it's with the daily practice and the consistency and the continuation of the thing that you're really going to really see the result in. So I would say to that person, realize that yoga is not a one size fits all type of practice, and they may find that they connect more to a slower version of yoga versus a faster version, or vice versa. Also know that it's a whole journey. It's a whole entire journey. Don't think that it's just like, okay, I'm just going to be stretching, but you're going to be really stretching all parts of yourself. And then, like I said, be consistent with it, and know that it may take a second for you to kind of find your place with it, but give yourself that time, because it's within that continuation and consistency with the practice that you're really going to find your flow with it, and you're going to find your balance.
In tough times, our effort to maintain fitness, healthy nutrition, and personal wellness can fall by the wayside. However, it is essential to make space for self-care and experiences that fortify our physical and mental well-being. Visit projectbestlife.org to check out the personal assessment tool that will give you personalized health insights, as well as a cancer screening checklist. This series is sponsored by Project Best Life by Roswell Park.
You mentioned a couple of different styles of yoga when you were speaking there, and I'm interested to know what styles of yoga do you teach?
I am certified as a vinyasa trained instructor, but we teach vinyasa. That's the premise of most of our routines is vinyasa flow, but we also have the capacity to teach hatha. We do power yoga, which a lot of people don't sign up for the power yoga because they're like, oh, that's too much. But we do have that. We do have that as an option. We also teach chair yoga because once again, not a lot of people can even touch their toes. A lot of people have conditions and injuries and things of that nature. So we provide that option if that is something that, you know, better suits you. We do also do contemporary, more modern styles of yoga. So we do dance flow yoga. And we also do trap yoga, which is very, very new. And trap yoga is something that a lot of people have been kind of gravitating to because it's really fun. It's like yoga, it's dance, it's music, and it's all fused into like one routine. And everybody does trap yoga differently. But yeah, we do it. That's one of our specialties at Afrochick Yoga, one of our trap yoga classes.
I also noticed that you do teach young people, and I think I'm correct in sort of saying that it's yoga for kids or yoga for young people. How is yoga for kids or yoga for young people different from yoga for adults?
Well, young people, we were all young people at one point. I mean, we're still young people, you know, we were all kids at one point, and we have to understand that kids learn differently than adults do. And me being an instructor of both, teaching people of all ages, from the youngest to the oldest, I observe some of the characteristics, some of the obstacles that I guess each set of, you know, each group of people would actually go through. And with kids, I have a child too. I'm a mother of an 11-year-old preteen. So in raising her and teaching kids and babysitting kids and all of that, I realized with kids, they have to be engaged a little bit differently than adults would have to be engaged. And not to say that kids can't focus, but they are not as prone to sit still and be able to, like we as adults, I can say, okay, we're going to sit here for 10 minutes and we're going to do this yoga. Now, whether you really want to do it or not, it's almost like neither here nor there. You're going to make yourself, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to do each pose. With kids, they're a little bit more rambunctious. They're like, okay, I don't want to sit here. I want to play. I want to jump. I want to do all of that. So the way that we structure our, we actually have two programs, but it's for, you know, the kids depending on their age group. So for kids like 5 through 12 or K through like 5th or 4th grade, we do our kid yogi program. And with a kid yogi program and with the older kids, we do our young yogis and training program. And with both programs, yes, we teach the kids yoga, meditation, mindfulness, all of that is taught, but it's taught in a way that they understand, in a way that kind of comes down to their level and say, I can talk to you and kind of relate to some certain things that you may be going through, even though you're only 7 years old. So we have activities, we have discussions. Yes, we do a yoga routine and we even do a storybook meditation, which is more of a visualization because kids are really imagery based. They love visuals, they love excitement. So we create stories with our meditation that has the same effect as any other meditation. And all of the, each week or each session that we have with the child, each session has its own theme, has its own topic. So one week or one session, we may talk about balance and focus. Another session, we may talk about teamwork and cooperation. Another one, we may talk about self-love, and everything kind of pours into the other, pours into the other, and pours into the other. So that's with our kid yogi and our young yogis in training program. The only difference is the age group. We kind of change up the language and certain activities that we do for the older kids than we do for the younger kids, but it's basically the same structuring. And I find that the kids are able to learn so much more, and they're able to come to the practice enthusiastic about doing yoga. Because, you know, most kids, I was doing a Saturday academy, and we were doing yoga with like a mom and a couple of her daughters. And the youngest one, she was so cute. She was trying to do certain poses, but she just got really uninterested, like, this is boring. And as much as, you know, her mom was like, oh my God, don't say that, I was able to receive it because I get it. Like, just doing downward dog for a five-year-old, like after about 5 minutes, it's going to be like, okay, can we go do something else? Let me show you what I can do. Let me flip on top of my head. So that's the biggest thing with kids.
Yeah, I was even thinking too, right? Like, I was like, oh, you know, as you say it, right, it makes so much sense. Because for me, like, a 5 minute downward dog is like, oh, I'm stretching. But if you're so limber already, you don't need to stretch for 5 minutes, you know, like, you don't. Yeah,
exactly. And that's what kids do. Most of the times, if I'm teaching kids and I'm just teaching them, you know, straight yoga, a lot of times is spent just looking at the kids, telling me all the things that, look, I can do downward dog, but I'm going to flip it over, kick my leg, and then I'm going to land in a split. It's almost like they want to show you all the things that they can do with their body because they have so much energy. So like I said, we structure it out so they can use a lot of that energy when we're doing our activities, which, like I said, the activities, you know, can vary from yoga Jenga to, you know, doing like a little race, but you're walking, to show balance. It's all the things that we do, you know, for the kids are really great. So, you know, they get to use their energy. So by the time we get to the actual session, they're ready to do the yoga. Cause it's like, okay, it's going to be about 5-10 minutes of us doing all these cool yoga poses. And then we're going to end it off with a little bit of meditation. So we kind of take them through that progression and we, you know, bring them on down at the end.
What are some of the benefits of helping a young person start a yoga or meditation practice at a young age?
Some of the benefits that would help a young person, a kid, you know, especially at a young age, with, when it comes down to yoga, so many things. Your productivity, you know, your concentration, your balance, not just physical balance, but mental balance. Being able to stand in your own truth and being comfortable with yourself. As adults, we, most of us, grow up not being comfortable with who we are. And we don't come into that sense of comfortability with who we are until we get into our, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And so to get that understanding as a child can be so pivotal when it comes down to them moving throughout their future. They'll move with a lot more confidence, a lot more sureness about who they are. They'll, of course, you know, come into a mindset of health and wellness, and always having that as the underlying tone growing up as they go get into their adulthood. So no matter what, they'll always find a way to, you know, make sure they're fit, make sure they're healthy, make sure they're eating right, because it's already been established in their more formative years, or when they, you know, were a young adult, that this is the routine. So, you know, creating that sense of structure, if you will, with a child at a young age can just do nothing but help them as they, you know, grow up and become adults, and help them navigate and maneuver throughout life, because they'll actually have tools. Some tools that we didn't have growing up, they'll actually have growing up. And like I said, that will allow them to move with so much more confidence.
I'm 40 and I'm still working on, I mean, it's a process. It's a process. I understand that you're now working in the public schools teaching yoga and meditation. Have you noticed any changes or heard any about the benefits of teaching yoga and meditation in schools? And if so, what are they?
I've heard some benefits, as far as, you know, some of the benefits that I've heard when it comes down to teaching with schools and, you know, academic institutions. I've had the pleasure of teaching the Kid Yogi or the Young Yogis in Training program at a few schools now. And some of the things that I've noticed, I haven't had any report cards as far as like the coordinators getting back to me and saying, hey, you know, this is what happened. But as far as what I've noticed from the beginning of me starting to teach the kids and at the end of the program, I notice they have come into a sense of discipline. when we do the Kid Yogi program, even though it's not a strong emphasis, like you guys are going to do this thing, you're going to do it exactly this way, by the way that I structure it and we kind of flow into things, they start to kind of mimic that flow. So they know to come into the classroom, sign in, take their shoes off, get their mat, bring their mat out, come into a seated position, and they're going to say a little kid mantra. We're going to go over the rules. And so they have come into a more of a sense of structure. They are a little bit more disciplined. Even some of their productivity that they've had in school has increased because they have somewhat of an outlet. I've heard kids come back to me and say, I went home and I showed my mom or I showed my sister certain poses and we were doing yoga together. And now I've been doing yoga every day, you know, because I'm more excited about it. So I've just noticed just from the start of a program to the ending of that program that the kids seem a lot more enthused about not just yoga, but just about getting healthy and all the different ways that they can actually get fit. They're enthused about some of the content that we have when we're teaching the kids, as far as, you know, knowing about balance, knowing about, you know, working on a team, knowing about self-love and power of visualization and all of that. They have all these different tools. So they kind of come out of it with that sense of confidence that I was talking about just the question before. They come out of it like, oh, I'm a lot more confident, even if it's just more confident in their body and more comfortable in their body. So that's what I've noticed personally in doing the program.
If I wanted to encourage my child to meditate, what should I do? How could I help them to succeed?
First things first, when it comes down to in trying to encourage a child to meditate, realize and understand that a child's attention span is not as long as an adult's attention span. So I would say start off with giving them maybe a 2 to 3 minute type of meditation and just have them, you know, start off just breathing in and breathing out and just starting off with just with breath for about a minute. If they can hold for a minute, that's fine. If you can get your child to sit down for 5 minutes and meditate, that's a win. Because like I said, that time is going to be built upon and built upon and built upon as time goes on. Don't try to make a child sit for a whole hour or 30 minutes or even 15 minutes and just sit still, because a lot of times their mind is going to be like in a whole bunch of different directions. So like I said, I would just start very slow. I would start with, you know, just 1 to 2 minute durations and be there with your kid, you know, be there with your child. Don't just have them in the room and just breathe quietly by yourself. Be there with them and kind of teach them how to connect to their breath, which is very simple to do, just breathing in and just being mindful of how the breath feels as it's going through the body, how it feels as it's coming out. Start off with doing that and then just take it, you know, as far as increments of time, take it like maybe 5 minutes at a time and allow them to find their own journey with it. Do not force it. Do not force it. Allow them to find their own journey with it. And if you just introduce the concept of it, like for example, my daughter, she meditates. It's not because I make her meditate. It's because, you know, she's already getting familiar with the sense of it because, you know, her mom is a yoga instructor, but she does it on her own because I introduced it to her. I did it with her a couple of times. We only started with a little bit of breathing. It was good with that. Like, okay, I can deal with that. And then she started, now she's at a point where she's doing 10, 15 minutes by herself. Like, mom, I woke up in the middle of the night, so I decided to do a little bit of meditation just to kind of bring me back to sleep. And like, she's just doing it on her own. So that's the biggest thing. Start slow and, you know, do the slow build. And then, you know, biggest thing is allow them to find their own journey with it.
This piece is for a series called Project Best Life. How does getting our children involved in meditation and yoga, or anybody really getting involved in meditation and yoga, help them lead their best lives?
It's the intention that goes behind doing yoga and meditation. So when you do anything with a sense of intention, you are leaning towards your best self. And with yoga and meditation being so involved in such a journey as what it is, the journey is basically coming back into your inner self. And at the core of everybody, and this is my core belief, but at the core of everybody, there's a sense of divinity. no matter how bad that person may seem, there is a sense of divinity. And that's the journey that yoga kind of takes you on. It brings you back to that sense of self and that inner self and that divinity, and allows for you to tap into that. And of course, if you are closer to your divinity, you're closer to the best version of yourself that you can be. So coming into that journey for anybody, be it if it's a child or an adult at any age, you start that journey to self. You start to do a lot of that shadow work. You start to kind of get down to the roots of some of those traumas that you had and really start to uproot some of that stuff that's been holding you down. So that's why yoga is not just like a physical thing. It's such, it's everything, encompasses all the things that will allow for you to honestly tap into, just naturally going down this road, tap into the best version of who you are actually meant to be.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Finally, I always like to say this, and the answer to this could be no, and that's perfectly acceptable, but I always want to give people an opportunity. Is there anything that you would like to add or you feel has been left unsaid in this interview?
I guess in closing, I would just kind of reemphasize the idea that yoga is not a one size fits all type of practice. And, you know, regardless of your age, regardless of your gender, regardless of your color, your size, your religion, any of the things that separate us as humans, regardless of that, yoga and this meditation and the journey that we go on with it is as natural and as versatile as you are. So you can find a way to make it your own. And don't feel vexed or don't feel jaded because you're practice looks different than somebody else's practice. It's going to be different. We're all individuals. Even though we're all one, we're still individuals. So the way that you come into your individual practice will be your own individual journey. And be willing to take it. It is such a beautiful, beautiful journey if you continue to walk down it. So continue to walk down your own path with it.
I'm so glad that I asked that. That was such a beautiful answer. I got so I caught the vapors on that one. If you wouldn't mind now, just for us, sort of a 2 to 3 minute, maybe mindful breathing practice that could be done with a young person or that could really be done by anybody.
Okay. All right. So we're going to start off by just softening our gaze or even closing down the eyes. Allow ourselves to connect to our breath, our inhale and our exhale, breathing in deeply. We're going to take 4 intentional breaths through the nose and release it out through the mouth. Allow these breaths to resonate and move throughout the body. And as you're releasing the air out, allow yourself to feel that sense of stress, tension to also be released with that breath. So we're going to start in, breathing in deeply through the nose, allowing the belly to inflate like a balloon. We're going to hold right at the top. And as if we're blowing out a candle right in front of us, we're going to breathe out very deeply. We're going to take that a few more times. Breathe in. Hold right at the top. And breathe out. Again, breathing in, allowing the belly to fill up, chest to begin to get bigger, and breathe out. Last time, we're going to breathe it in. Hold for just an extra second and breathe out. Allow yourself to go back to your normal rate, normal pace of breathing after that last deep breath. And you're just going to allow yourself to just follow the sensations of your inhale and your exhale. As the air is coming into your body, is it coming in through your nose? Are you breathing in through your mouth? As the air comes in, on the inhale, does it remain in the chest or does the air move throughout the rest of the body? And on the exhale, where does the air escape to? Does it escape out of the nose, out of the mouth? Is the breath staggered? Is it shortened? Just allow yourself for the next couple of moments to investigate, be a witness to your inhale and your exhale. Realizing that the breath does so much for us. Not only does it keep us alive, it is our prana. It is our life force. It brings energy. It brings relaxation. Allow yourself to feel a sense of gratitude for your breath and a sense of gratitude for this time that you're taking to be with your breath. We're going to come to a close. The same way that we started the meditation is the same way we're going to end the meditation. But before coming to an end, realize that you can come back to this point of relaxation at any point by just connecting to your breath. So we're going to deepen our breath and we're going to breathe in for a count of three and breathe out for a count of three. Take it in, allow that belly to inflate once again, hold right at the top and release it out. Take that two more times on your own, allowing yourself to feel that sensation of the prana, that energy life force coming into the body, and the release of it coming out, taking all tension, stress, anxiety away. And on your last breath out, you're going to come back to your normal rate of breathing. And whenever you are ready, you can open the eyes, reactivate the vision, allow yourself to be settled in the moment, the time that you just took for yourself. Though it was short, it was definitely effective. Thank yourself for this time. And I say namaste to you.
Namaste. Thank you very, very much for your time and for your generosity. I so look forward to sort of seeing the piece when it's finished. And thank you very, very much.
The content published through Project Best Life empowers people to take control of their lives and to take tangible steps to be their healthiest and happiest. Trying to manage a proper work-life balance, saving for your future while paying all your bills, all while keeping strong relationships with friends and family, we know that life can get pretty stressful. And it's easy to forget what's best for your health, both physically and mentally. Project Best Life is here to help with their podcast, Happy and Healthy, where they provide tips from experts and share stories that will inspire you to live your best life, whatever that means to you. Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google. And for more information on Project Best Life, like or follow on Facebook or Instagram, or visit projectbestlife.org. Thanks for listening. The series is sponsored by Project Best Life by Roswell Park. Today's show is produced by Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios. The episode was produced by Jessica Marinelli. Addison Schoonmacher engineered the episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you liked this show, please recommend it to a friend. In addition to this podcast, you can also check out our Project Best Life series on buffalorising.com, where you can get more wellness inspiration and learn about the people, places, and experiences in Buffalo and beyond that will help you fulfill your health, nutrition, and wellness goals. For more information on how you can live your best life, subscribe to the Project Best Life newsletter at projectbestlife.org. That's projectbestlife.org.